From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Joe Palca reporting. Harvey now a Category 1. The fiercest hurricane to hit the U.S. in more than a decade has been downgraded to a Category 1 storm. But by early Saturday, it had already dumped more than 9 inches of rain on some parts of coastal Texas. No deaths were immediately confirmed in the hours after Harvey's arrival, but officials noted emergency crews couldn't get out in many places due to the high winds. The U.S. National Hurricane Center is still calling it a life-threatening storm. This is Corpus Christi resident Mike Brotherton.
It's a constant howl out there. You hear the wind, you don't really hear the rain, even though the rain's going on. But, you know, the wind's definitely going. You can hear the boards on the house shaking.
A worst-case scenario is that a hurricane could hug the coast for days and stay strong enough to remain a tropical storm. The eye of Hurricane Harvey has made landfall along the coastline of the U.S. state of Texas. Iraqi forces say they have recaptured most of the northwestern Iraqi city of Talifar from Islamic State, including its center, and raised the flag atop of its Ottoman-era citadel. Officials have said they hope to establish total control of Talifar by Eid al-Adha, the Muslim holiday which starts in Iraq on September 2nd. The United States is using new sanctions to forbid any dealings in Venezuelan debt or equity. It is Washington's latest move to pressure the repressive movement of President Nicolas Maduro. U.S. National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster told reporters the sanctions are meant to demonstrate that the U.S. will not allow an illegitimate dictatorship to take hold in the Western Hemisphere.
We will continue to work with our friends and partners in the international community to support the Venezuelan people until their rights and democracy are fully restored.
This is VOA News. The way Bana Umar tells it, VOA helped convince him to leave Boko Haram. Until the night of August the 18th, Umar was a fighter for the Islamist radical group, living at a camp in the vast Zambeza forest in northeastern Nigeria. When asked if what Boko Haram does is good and right, Bana Umar says it is not, because the group attacks people mercilessly and unjustly, and in his view, manipulates Islam to its own violent ends. Umar says he heard promises over the radio from the Nigerian Chief of Army Staff, General Tukur Buratai, that defectors from Boko Haram would be welcome, not punished. And he heard how Boko Haram's deadly ambushes and suicide bombings were received in the outside world. According to Umar, he says many listen to radio stations like BBC and VOA. He said, I listen to these radio stations frequently, and I realize that all our activities were evil. We killed, we stole, but what we are doing is not religion. Finally, I got fed up with the group. Umar is now in the Borno State capital of Maiduguri after fleeing the Boko Haram camp. His comments, translated from Hausa, provide insight into how the militants recruit and retain fighters and are managing to survive in the face of a multinational offensive. A former prime minister of Thailand has fled to Dubai, according to senior members of her political party. Reuters' Grace Lee reports.
Thailand's former prime minister Yingluck Shinawat has fled to Dubai. That's according to senior members of her party, who say the ousted leader left the country last week. Shinawat was a no-show at the Supreme Court on Friday, where she faced up to 10 years in prison in a negligence ruling. A judge says she asked for sick leave, blaming an ear problem. But sources tell Reuters that Shinawat flew via Singapore to Dubai to join her brother, former Prime Minister Thaksin Shinawat, who's also avoiding a 2008 jail sentence for corruption and lives in self-imposed exile. Police say they have no record of Yingluck leaving the country. They've issued an arrest warrant and immigration officials are on the lookout. Hundreds of her supporters rallied outside the courthouse on Friday, where Yingluck was due to hear her fate for negligence over a rice subsidy scheme, which was meant to solve rural poverty, but ultimately cost the country around $8 billion.
That's Reuters' Grace Lee reporting. Relatives and elders protesting the death of 10 Somali civilians allegedly killed in a raid by Somali and U.S. troops say the bodies of the victims will not be buried until the perpetrators apologize. Holding a news conference after the meeting in Mogadishu on Saturday, more than 300 Somali community leaders and relatives of the dead accused the Somali troops and the USA of killing civilians. Joe Palca reporting from Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.